Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
2 Corinthians. For those of you that struggle with sequential orders, it's after 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, familiar passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and then we're going to get started. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. I'm reading from the NIV. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let's pray. Father, come speak to us today. I pray right now every demonic assignment be broken against the minds of your people. I pray that you would allow me to somehow get out what it is that you've got stirring in me. And even if it doesn't come out the right way, could you make it the right way in the ears of those that are hearing? Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I was little, my sister had her wildest dreams come true. I have one sister. She's a missionary in Ireland. She's been there for 10 or 11 years with her family. And when she was little, she wanted Barbie's dream house. Anybody here, any ladies here, you know what Barbie's dream house is? Did anybody have a Barbie dream house? Had the elevator on the side? Anyone? Some of you are not going to raise your hands. There we go. I know you're here. Some of you are about to break down in tears because you never got one. Somehow my sister got one. And so she's 1 year younger than me. We're very close. And so we played together a lot as kids. And so she would invite me to come play with Barbie Dreamhouse. And I would say, no way. I am not playing Barbie Dreamhouse. So then, as little sisters do, all she had to do was cry, here comes mom. Anyone? Are you with me? I'm the oldest in the family. Nobody gets in trouble more than the oldest in the family because all the younger ones have figured out how to get that one in trouble. And all of you that are not the oldest in your family, there's a special place for you on Judgment Day. I'm just trying to be funny. That's not actually in the word. I just made that up. Mom would say, Kirsten, get in there and play with your sister. So that's it. And now I have to obey. So I'm not going down without a fight. So you know what I'm going to do? I go grab all of my G.I. Joes, every tank, every gun, every battle guy, the whole army. I'm coming to play G.I. Joes, and I'm going to win. And every time I came to play at the Barbie Dream Center, there was going to be a fight and a battle, and G.I. Joe is there. The real American hero is coming. I can see you nodding your head. Some of you grew up watching G.I. Joe. I did too. So much fun. My sister would get so mad because I would beat up her Barbies. She especially would get mad when I would take the Barbies in the name of G.I. Joe and pull their heads off. If I've just triggered PTSD from your childhood, I'm so sorry. We have imaginations like that, don't we? You know, you are an incredible creation. You, no matter what you got on your math test, even if you didn't finish high school, if you didn't finish preschool, you are an incredible creation. What you got on your chemistry test does not define how intelligent you are. How many diplomas you have on your wall does not gauge how incredible of a mind you have. There's things you can do with your mind that no degree can be put on a wall for. You are exceptional. You can do exceptional things with your mind. Some of the things that you can do with your mind is you can remember things. Do you remember the days when you could recall people's phone numbers in your mind? Then we got smart phones. Now we have to remember, in the same way that we had to remember phone numbers so we could dial, now we have to remember passwords, pin codes. Oh, I used that one before. I got to change it. Oh, I've used that one before. Forgot password because I can't remember anything. No, you can. You can calculate. You can predict with your mind. My ability to predict today saved me from 2 car accidents that were coming my way. I can process things, configure things. But what I think is the greatest thing you can do with your mind is pretend and imagine. Imagine, play imaginary things. You still do that. You don't have Barbies and G.I. Joes, but you ask questions like, what if? You're imagining things. You are incredible. Our minds are incredible creations that God gave us. God made you that way. And you are very good, according to Genesis chapter 1. But that mind that you and I have, it needs tending. Because if it doesn't have a gardener, it's in danger of corrupting your whole life. The very thing that you could use to predict and remember and imagine and have fun and could also be your great undoing. Do we have any gardeners here? Pastor Tammy loves gardening. I love gardening. I'm not very good at it, but I'm learning. And I do know that my garden requires attention, inspection, work. I have to go out there and go, that's a slug and you're not welcome here. Did you know that our minds require a gardener? You have to be the gardener over your mind. Not every thought is your thought. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe that's new for you. Not everything that comes through your mind is from you. And not everything that comes from your mind, it shows up in your mind, is a God thought. Not everything is a good thought. Maybe you've never thought like that before. You know what's incredible about you? You can think about your thoughts. That's incredible. Sometimes it's not helpful. At 3 a.m. when you woke up and now you're like, I don't want to think about my thoughts. Stop. That's what I've been doing for about a month. I've finally just decided to get up. You can think about your thoughts. Your mind needs a guardian. It needs something around it to keep it from becoming your undoing. As incredible as the mind is, it is in danger. Your worst enemy is your unguarded mind. I love this phrase. The devil doesn't need to make you do anything wrong. Because if he can get you to think wrong, you'll do wrong all by yourself. I'll say that one more time. Some of you didn't write that down. That might be something you want to help your kids understand. The devil doesn't need to make you do anything wrong, because if he can get you to think wrong, you'll do wrong all by yourself. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, and he tells them to be on their guard and not to be persuaded by every wind of doctrine. I believe this. Oh, no, now I don't. Now I believe this. No, no. Now I believe this. Oh, that person's really great. I'm going to believe what they said. To have their mind moving back and forth and not settled, their belief system not settled. A mind, your mind, without a guardian over it or without a gardener tending it is very similar to a garden box that you never paid attention to. Guess what's going to happen to it? It's going to have other things start growing in there that you didn't want in there. And if you don't go in there and deal with, oh, in mine, it's the chickweed. I go out there and plant these beautiful things, and then I come back the next day, 24 hours, and there's things in there that I didn't put in there. It's that chickweed. If you want to grow chickweed, come to my house. You can take all of mine. If I don't go out there and deal with that, guess what's going to happen? It's going to keep growing. It's going to have, it'll be a hostile takeover. And the things that I wanted to have grow there are going to be gone. And I'm going to have all these weeds and bugs. Our mind has to have the same kind of attention given to it, or it's going to be our undoing. We'll have thoughts that are lies. We're not able to identify them, but we're believing them, and then we're passing them on to our kids, and then we're acting on them, and it's been a lie the whole time. We'll be confused. Do you know what the problem is with deception? You're deceived, and you don't know it. Yikes. The New Testament writers, take your Bible. This is Wednesday night, and I've got a little bit of meat and potatoes here for you tonight. I hope you've got your Bible. I prefer having a paper Bible. Something happens in my memories. I remember where things are, and so I hope you got yours. We're gonna move around the New Testament, and I hope you write these down. And or at least write down the scripture reference so that you can go back and look at it in your own Bible. I want to look at some of the New Testament emphasis about what's going on in here and how important it is that we pay attention and think about our thoughts. Because as we read in our opening text, we have a responsibility to go to action with what's happening in here. To not go to action is to let the devil come play in there and wreck our lives and just believe whatever we think is a right thought. We'll go the wrong way. Take a look at the New Testament emphasis on what we think. Romans 12:2, familiar. Look at this scripture. I'm going to read it to you out of my Bible. I still have those pages. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are born with a default mode. You have a default mode of thinking. You know, when you get your cell phone, they all have the same apps in the same place. They all have the same size font, and you have the great privilege to go through, change the background. No, I want this picture of me. No, I want this picture of me. Oh, here's a new one. I like that one instead. I want the numbers this big. I want this kind of number. What are you doing? You're personalizing your device. You're moving it out of default mode into something that you like. You're born with a default mode. It's called your sinful nature. And if you don't get the default mode out of your thinking, it will be your undoing. Your thinking has to be renewed. It is rooted in the sinful nature. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's saying here, there's some work that you need to do with these thoughts that you're having. You need to take some action. Don't be a bystander, just observing. Let's look at the next one, Romans 8. Flip back just a few pages. Romans 8, starting with verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature, there's the default mode that you're born with. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds. Their what? Their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind, there it is again, the mind of the sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Two different outcomes here for what's happening inside here that no one sees. No one can tell what's going on inside your mind. No one else can choose what's going on inside your mind. Two different outcomes, polar opposites. One of them is death. The other one is life and peace. There's default mode, and then there's this mode called controlled by the Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. It's Holy Ghost night. We're going to invite the Holy Ghost into our thinking. I want you to take a look at 1 Peter. It's kind of in the back of your Bible. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter is very concerned. He's writing to this New Testament church that they should have their minds set for action. What is this action he's talking about? We'll get it to there in just a minute. But they're supposed to be doing something on purpose with their mind, intentionally. But Peter, who wrote this, he's so concerned about what's going on in their minds. This is not the only time he says it to them. Flip over and look at chapter 4, verse 7. First Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded. Your version might say sober-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. There it is again. There's an intentionality there. There's an on-purposeness there. I'm doing this on purpose. I'm putting action out to force something to happen in my mind instead of just letting it float around and see what shows up today. I'm taking control. I'm choosing what's happening. And I want and I'm going to work to be clear-minded. But Peter's not done there. A third time in this one letter, three times he addresses what's going on in their minds. Flip over a page or scroll down a little bit, one flip, flick. 1 Peter 5, 8. Your version might be a little different than mine. It says, be self-controlled and alert. You know what he's saying there? Alert, your enemy, The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be alert. Your version might say sober-minded. There it is again. He's talking about something is supposed to be going in here, on in here, that you are intentionally framing and structuring and gardening. It's not just left for every wind of doctrine that comes across the radio, propaganda across advertising, your neighbor's point of view, and you're going to adopt it. You're supposed to be intentionally planting and keeping things in here. Not just keeping them in here, keeping some things out of here. I have a chicken coop with lots of chickens, and I have a fence around it. And it's not just to keep the chickens in there so I don't have to go chase them down. It's so Mr. Fox can't get in there, who recently has been doing Brody's in our pasture and running around the chicken coop looking for a way to get in. Do you know that's the same picture that's going on right here, 1 Peter 5:8. He's talking about your mind. He's talking about being sober-minded, alert. Why? Well, he goes on. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around looking for someone to devour. Right in here. These verses go together. One because of the other. Take control of what's happening in your thoughts, because your devil is looking for a way to come destroy you through them. A mind without a gardener is in severe danger. Let's look at some other ones here. These are powerful verses. Colossians 3. Verse 2, Colossians 3, verse 2. I hope you're writing some notes. Write these scriptures down. Here we go, Colossians 3, 2. Let's read 1, 2, 3, and 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. There it is. You're choosing where you're setting your mind. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Take a look at Hebrews. We read it this morning. I've really enjoyed early morning prayer, going through the book of Hebrews. It's done something inside me. I love Hebrews. Check out chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him. That's a function of your mind. You're thinking about it. He's saying to us, when you're losing heart and your faith is growing thin and you're tired of the battle and you feel like your last thing is just about gone, consider, think about Jesus. Put your eyes and your thoughts, put your attention on him so that you don't lose heart. These are just some of the New Testament emphasis addressing you and I, the believers, and what's going on in our minds. Now, let me ask you a question. In all these references, who is responsible for what's going on in here? It's not God. It's not his responsibility to clear your mind up and get it out of the gutter. It's not God's responsibility in any of these multiple scripture references to cause you It's not his job or his role to cause you to capture a thought and say, that's not from God, and throw it out. This is personal responsibility of us pursuing Jesus with all that we are, includes going to battle in our thoughts. In us becoming more like Jesus, you and I are going to have to be intentional, daily intentionality about choosing what's happening in here. Let's go back to our text, 2 Corinthians 10. Can we bring that up again? Thank you so much for helping us. 2 Corinthians 10. I want you to look at the words that Paul is using to describe dealing with our thoughts. Let's read this again. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish. Can you say that with me? To demolish strongholds. We, there it is again, say it with me, demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive. Look at the person next to you and say, take captive every thought to make it. Look at the person behind you and say, make it. Some of you didn't turn around. It's all right. It's been a long day. Make it obedient. Okay. These are action words. These are fighting words. These are brutal, not nice words. These are not words you use to describe a friendly encounter with a dog that's trying to attack your kids. If you've got a dog that's in your yard and it's coming after your little one, there's no way you're going to go out and be nice to that dog. You're going to go out with one intent. Make sure your kid is not injured, no matter what that means. Because that's how parents are with their kids. These are strong action words about us dealing with our thoughts. Take captive. You can think about your thoughts. Not all of them are yours. Not all of them are from God. You grab a hold of those thoughts and you weigh them against this. And if it's not found in here, if it's not a God thought, you demolish. You take captive. You make it. Aloha. We are the gardeners of our own minds. You have to be the gardener of your own mind. No one else is going to do that for you. The Holy Ghost is not going to do that for you. What's going on in your mind is setting the course of where your life is going. Because from your thoughts, you're going to produce an action. From your actions, you're going to produce a habit. From your habits, you're going to produce a lifestyle. And then 20 years has gone by, and things you wanted, you didn't ever want in your life, are now the dominant traits in your life. And it all started with the way you were thinking. I got some good news. That's all bad news. Take a deep breath. It's meat and potatoes night. You showed up for cereal and apple cinnamon oatmeal, and it's meat and potatoes night. Did any of you have, let's just pause. Okay, right on. Okay. Do any of you remember when you were kids and you played pretend? Did you have certain pretend things that you liked to be? Oh, I was totally Michael Jordan out in my front yard playing on my basketball hoop, all in my mind. It's really happening. I can hear the countdown. 5, 4. I'm dribbling around. 5, 4. Does anybody know what I'm... anybody know what I'm talking about? You did the imaginary countdown, and then you shot and you missed. So what did you do? You do it again. Five. And you're staring at, you can hear the crowd. It's him. He's the one. It's me. He's going to make it. Three, two, boom, 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 boom. Miss. Do it again. Five. And it's really happening. Isn't that incredible? I think those are incredible things. Do any of you have kids, little kids at home? They like to pretend things. They like to pretend to be something. Girls like to pretend to be mommies. Okay. God gives us, here's some good news. God says what should be going on in our minds. That was a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of warning about what shouldn't be happening in our minds. But God does tell us some clear direction to what to think in our minds. Take your Bible. We're not done in the New Testament. Philippians. Of course, some of you are quoting it already. Powerful scripture to speak to us today. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Hey, can you read this with me? Come on, read it right out loud. Read it right off the screen. It's not there. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. God clearly tells us what should be happening in here, what we should be dwelling on, what should be a repeat thing that's happening. You know what? One of the incredible things you can do with your mind, ready for this one? You can change it. You can change your mind. You can switch from thinking about cheeseburgers to Reubens. Minister Hank, anybody like to eat a good Reuben? You can switch from thinking about pizza to chicken strips, all in a moment, and then back. You can think about coffee. How? So glad God moved me to Alaska. There's coffee shops everywhere. I know I heard from the Lord the moment I seen all of the coffee shops in Alaska. I knew it was the Lord's will. You can change what you're thinking. If you're getting plagued by thoughts, if you're getting tormented with thoughts, you can choose. Myself, Pastor Kirsten, on a routine basis, I have to remind myself, if it's praiseworthy, if it's excellent, I'm going to think about that. I'm not going to let my mind spin on garbage. Maybe you've been battling, it's a good way to say it sometimes, maybe you've been battling perverse thoughts, sexually immoral thoughts. You can change what you're thinking. Let's walk it out. If you haven't taken any notes yet, now's a good time to start. How am I going to get the garbage gone and get fresh new thoughts in there? Because my life is being plagued by them. Maybe your life is being plagued by them. Maybe the direction of your life is spinning in a direction you never wanted it to go. You've given your heart to Jesus, but you don't seem to have some victory over some things. It's because you're still letting the garbage spin in your mind, and you're not choosing to get it out. Have you ever had your spouse, I'm not going to name any names, have you ever had your spouse, that was kind of funny right there, by the way, take their coffee that had a lot of cream in it and leave it on the counter for a couple of days? And you look at it and you go, For those of you that put cream in your coffee, we will have a special healing line for you later. And all the black coffee drinkers said, it's okay if you like cream in your coffee. It's okay. Just trying to lighten it up here a little bit. It's kind of heavy. You know what I do? I take that coffee cup. I don't want to touch that. It looks gross. So I put it in the sink and I turn the water on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I just let the water run in it. And all the chunks start coming out. Start coming out. Chunk here. Oh, there's a big one. Some little ones. Still some trace elements in there. Here I am telling you what to think about, and I'm putting things in your mind that you don't want there. Ooh, the curse of an imagination at the wrong time. I struggle to turn my imagination off. Somebody telling me a story, and sometimes I just have to walk away because it's working. It's very functional. That, in essence, is what we have to do in our minds. Something has to hit our minds in such a way that all of the dross starts getting flung out and we start getting something else in there to push it out. And eventually, you let that coffee cup sit there long enough, eventually all the gunk's gone and it's just clean water sitting there. That's what we need to have happen in our minds. How are we going to get there? Let's take a look. First thing is get Jesus on the throne of your life. The moment you make a real, genuine, non-religious commitment to Jesus, something begins to happen in the way you see, the way you believe, the way you think. Your thinking starts going through, something's happening in the way I'm thinking, my value system starts changing. What's important to me starts changing. What happens is the moment you really, truly, genuinely surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God begins working in you. And one of the ways that it begins working in you is, what's going on in here? A life surrendered to Jesus does not think the same way that it used to, because Jesus is on the throne. And the longer that you leave Jesus on the throne and obey him, the more the dross thinking starts getting replaced with Jesus thinking. We need the Spirit of God to affect our minds. We need the Spirit of God to bring conviction in us for thoughts that we shouldn't leave spinning there. You might have some stray thought come through your mind. That's one thing. That something totally different to have this perverse thought come through and you hold it there. And you just leave it there. You just kind of let it hang there and enjoy it. You're destroying your life. So get Jesus on the throne of your life for real kind. Oh, wait, that's like, sorry about that. I lived in Maui for 15 years. That just came out. Sorry about that. For real, genuinely, get Jesus on the throne of your life. And don't kick him off. Do what it takes to keep him there. If you've never made that kind of commitment to Jesus, you can do that tonight. You can start a whole new journey, a whole new thought process, and it begins with letting Jesus on the throne and affect you. The second thing is stop and think about your thoughts. Take captive. Stop that thought, and if it's not a God thought, just move it back out. You can change your mind. The next thing is get in the Word. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed The more word we have in us, the more discernment we have about the thoughts happening in our life. If you don't have very much of this in there, you're going to struggle with discerning if God's speaking to you or if the devil's lying to you or if you just got your own thoughts. If you don't get in here, you're going to struggle with that. And that's not God's fault. That's not God's responsibility. It's ours. The more you devour this, the more it's the easier it is for you to identify who's speaking to me right now. And I don't have to think like that. I'm not going to think like that. I love this next one. We're walking it out, dealing with our thoughts. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 2, the Spirit searches even the deep things of God. Romans 8, when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes through us. Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. 1 Corinthians 14:14, our mind can get in the way, but if I pray in the Spirit, I'm bypassing my mind and I'm allowing my spirit to affect me without thinking about it. Because my mind can get distracted. My mind can think about cheeseburgers. My mind can think about whatever problems I might be having. But when I pray in the Spirit, all those things are bypassed. I'm just letting the Holy Ghost pray and affect me. Praying in the Holy Ghost tells your mind, stop spinning. I'm doing something else right now. And then lastly, you might need to be healed. Get healed. Get healed in your mind. Jesus' death and resurrection, his wounds that heal us, was not just for our physical bodies. You can be healed in your emotions. You can be healed in your mind. You can be healed in your memories. I had a terrible accident during the mega windstorm that we had. I fell down 5 stairs in my crawl space. And it was in the dark, and nobody knows I'm home. I'm all by myself. It was a terrible accident. Had to have some people come rescue me, and they did. Thank you, Jesus. After I was all better, my ribs were healed, my shoulder and knee was healed. It's a miracle I didn't hit my head. After that was over and done, and we're moving on, I can walk now and get around the house. I go back down the hall, and there's the crawl space door, and I'm frozen. I cannot move. I'm terrified. The door's shut. It doesn't matter. The next day, I went to early morning prayer, and I walked up to Minister Barry Haggerty. Some of you remember him, Kings Tucson. I said, I need you to pray for me. I'm scared to walk down my hall because of the accident I had. He lays his hands on me. I need a keyboard person. Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister Toby. Because God's about to heal some people in their minds. There's things that are plaguing you. You want them to stop. You might need something to happen like Minister Barry did to me. Do you know I didn't fly back 3 feet? I didn't feel anything. Minister Barry lays his hands on me, says, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In your mind and in your memories. I went home and I walked right down the hall and stood on top of that crawl space door and it didn't bother me. Jesus can heal your mind. Jesus can heal your memories. It's not me, it's the power of Jesus. I'm trying to help you today with what's going on in your mind. I'm trying to help you today that you don't have to listen to the lies of the devil. You can turn them off. You don't have to listen to the condemnation of the devil. You don't have to listen to the devil tell you how horrible you are, how ugly you are, how you don't measure up, how God doesn't hear your prayers, but he hears other people's prayers, how you have to work harder for God to love you. You don't have to listen to that nonsense. It's not true. You don't have to let that plague you. The things you've done in your past that haunt you and keep showing back up in your mind. Now you wish you could just go back and not do those things. You don't have to live with that condemning you every day, every night. If only I wouldn't have done that. You don't have to live with that. You can get healed. You can put Jesus on the throne. You can get washed in the blood. You can be forgiven. And you can turn those thoughts off. I do wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's been happening for about a month. I don't really enjoy it. And my mind won't stop. But that doesn't mean I just let it stray into every nook and cranny that it wants to go in. Even though I'm tired and I don't want to be awake, I'm going to control my thinking. I'm not going to let the devil come lie to me at 3 a.m. I'm going to put my thoughts on what Jesus has done. I'm going to put my thoughts on what I got to do that day. I'm going to put my thoughts on what God's doing through me. I'm going to work things out. I'm going to put my mind to work like I want it to work. And I'm not going to present a place for the devil, who's a roaring lion, to come find my mind not being guarded and then come in and do what he wants to do. You can be healed. Some of you need to be healed in your mind. That's why I'm preaching this today. Maybe you need to be healed in your memories. Maybe some things happened to you you didn't have a choice about. Somebody did something to you. I'm so sorry. If some evil, horrible things have happened to you that somebody else did to you, that's not God's plan, and I'm sorry that happened to you. You can be healed. I want you to be healed. So does Jesus. You can be healed today. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to take time to pray. As Minister Toby is playing, maybe there's something that I pointed out here about thinking. Maybe you realize there's some areas in your life, in your mind, and in your thinking, you need healing. Maybe you don't even know how to say what it is. That's okay. It's okay. You don't have to be able to perfectly describe what it is. You just know, I need healing in my mind. I'm being plagued by some things. I've got some patterns, cyclical patterns of destruction. Once I think this, it turns into this. I know what I'm talking about because I survived suicide at age 17 because I could not take captive the thoughts that were in my mind. The moment I thought this, it would go to this, and then it would go to this, and then it would just spin until I was just a puddle. That went on for a long time. Jesus came and he set me free. I've been healed in my mind. You can be healed in your mind.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.